We continue listening to the words of Scripture, now from the prophet Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give you. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today takes place shortly after the birth of Jesus. And we read that when the time for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we'll wrap up our Sunday messages as we try to enter into the thoughts and lives of those who were present in and around the first Christmas. Today we hear from Simeon. "My name is Simeon. I am old, retired, ready to leave this life behind. But God said I wouldn't leave without seeing the Lord's Messiah. Our people had waited centuries. I felt like it was a century just for me, but it happened. I saw him, held him in my arms. These arms held the hope of the world. He looked like any other child brought forward to be circumcised at the temple. This was the living link binding us to the great exodus from Egypt. We will never forget the night Egyptian firstborn were killed, but Hebrew firstborn were spared. So ever since then, the firstborn male child is symbolically dedicated to the Lord's service. Then the parents symbolically redeem him back from the temple for the offering. But this day, with this child, it was anything but an ordinary ritual. The Lord told me he was indeed the Messiah, the promised one. He was indeed dedicated to the Lord's service. Instead of being redeemed by his family's offering, all of us would be redeemed by him. I held in my arms for the briefest time the promised deliverer, and I felt young at heart again. And God has revealed to me more about this promised one. It came to me through prayer. Many things can be learned through prayer. Many difficult things can be learned through prayer. But it means praying as a way to listen to the response from God. It's hard because we usually think of prayer as a way to ask or tell God things. So at first I didn't want to believe what came to me in prayer. I wanted to believe in a kingdom of righteousness where needs were met. I wanted to see the enemies put down. I wanted a victorious Messiah ruling among the Jewish people. But God revealed a different plan. Oh, there would be a kingdom of righteousness and eventually a time of no want or need, but no immediate military victory over our enemies, no ruling with the Jewish people from Jerusalem. Now, this was to be a suffering Messiah. God pointed me to the prophet Isaiah and the writings about one who would suffer to bring salvation. And I thought, Lord, haven't your people had enough suffering? That's been the history of our people. I've seen righteous suffer more often than not under the Romans. Must there be more? Must bad things happen to good people? God led me to the words of Isaiah, the righteous one shall make many righteous. He shall bear their iniquities. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And more was revealed to me. People are not ready to reign with God in a righteous society because people are not fully righteous. Sooner or later, maybe sooner and later, we all sin. Doesn't matter how often we are told what we should be doing, it doesn't matter how often we go to the temple. Even we, the chosen people, must be made righteous by God through the Messiah. I tried to tell this to his parents, but I'm pretty sure they didn't understand it all. And when I looked at them, especially those wondering, innocent eyes of the mother, I didn't have the heart to come right out and say that their child would die, slaughtered. Instead, I said, this child is destined for the rising and falling of many, and a sign that will be opposed. Looking her right in the eyes, though, I had to be honest enough to say, a sword will pierce your soul also. Just as she had been the first to hear the Messiah's birth, she was now the first to hear of his death. No one will be able to understand the life and death of this Messiah if they hold on to delusions about him or about themselves. Some will turn away when he doesn't conquer. Some will fall away when he's put to death. All those who hope in him will have times of doubts. I foresee that many will not want to stop depending on their own ways and will not want to accept his ways. Why are people so calloused of heart? It means they won't recognize God's true nature and true will. But honestly, after my long life, that shouldn't surprise me. Time and again, We make mistakes time and again over history. Our people have stoned the prophets that God sent to them. It was Jeremiah who said it well. In time to come, God will have to write his covenant directly on the hearts of his people. God himself will break past the callousness of their hearts. And that is what this Messiah will do. As for me, I delight in holding this precious infant, knowing that he will fulfill God's will. Through him, God will call a righteous people. I told my God after I held the child, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace. According to your words, my eyes have seen your salvation." Yes, I have seen it and believe it. Even though it will be fulfilled after my death and in centuries to come, others like me will see a glimpse of the child and come to believe through the power of your word. I shall soon depart this world. I have no regrets. God has also revealed to me that because of this child, the end is only another beginning. Life continues beyond this life, beyond our tears and our suffering. And what more can I ask? Meanwhile, while I have breath, I will pray. I will pray for my own understanding. I will pray that others will pray and will hear the true message of this Messiah. And I will pray for this child and his divine mission. I have no fear that he will fail, but he will need the prayers of God's people for his day-to-day struggles as a man. Even on a divine mission, there is pain. Imagine God come as one of us to suffer what we suffer, that he might show us God's loving power is greater than anything that threatens us. I will not believe that God's plan will suffer defeat. In his great wisdom, God has decreed this means for our salvation. And I am confident God will achieve the goal. For how can I doubt, having seen this child? Following every night comes the promise of a glorious dawn. Amen.